Now, please welcome this year's Government Vice Chair, Mary Davey.
Good evening. Congratulations again to the award winners and to the partners. Welcome to the Fellows Network, our Fellows Network, and now your real work begins on joining and participating in this organization. So we have high expectations of you guys. So this evening, we are fortunate to have Beth Cobert providing us with insight into her priorities and the management agenda and how they are connected. Beth Cobert, as most of you know, I'm sure, is the Deputy Director for Management at the Office of Management and Budget, confirmed just over a year ago. And Beth previously served nearly 30 years at McKinsey & Company as a senior director and partner. This morning, she presented us with three challenges, and they were on the board a little bit ago. Those challenges are, what might we do to spread best practices in federal IT? How might we improve training for the federal workforce and best practices like agile development? And how might the federal government partner with industry to establish and spread best practices in IT? And Beth, I don't know if you got a chance to see, but there's all kinds of writing on those boards already, all kinds of additions to the app, so thank you for those. The challenges give you a good idea of her interests and impacts and how they are directly connected to the work we are doing in this conference. She has been reviewing your thoughts and answers throughout the day. She understands the vital importance of technology, process, and partnership with industry to make things happen in government. She's listening and asking and making things happen. So please welcome Beth Cobert. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, so you get to give the keynote after a beautiful day, after a rousing set of awards to people who've got lights like going and clappers, and an inspiring set of people getting awards, and then I get to talk. And I'm what's between you and a lively conversation and drinks. I'm not sure how this got organized this way, Dan. And you can't even protest because he's lost his voice. But I couldn't be more delighted to be here because for me, and I know for all of you, this is an incredibly important topic. As folks have said, we have a real opportunity ahead of us to take all the great things that are going on in technology, the new capabilities that we see in our lives every day, and think about how we can bring that to bear every day across the federal government, doing a better job of creating innovation, creating great customer service, bringing IT and non-IT things together to deliver what we all want to deliver, which is great service for the American people and American business. To use data to inform those decisions and to think about how we can bring that kind of innovation every day to our government. Now, we know that IT is just a fundamental part of all of our lives today. I mean, think about what you brought to the conference, right? Is it coming? There we go. You came with a phone. Some of us probably came with two phones, one of which I still assert is the most best optimized for email device that I've yet to find. I type much better on one than the other. Might not work for other things, but those spell check is great. You may have brought your laptop. Maybe you bought your Fitbit, you know, walking around the grounds today. Maybe that'd be something you want to do. You might have some wearable technology that might make you work better. And of course, everybody was focused on improving their personal productivity, so brought the most important apps with them. But no matter how you use it, we all know that technology is transforming our lives and it's transforming the processes and the things we do every day. And we need to harness that innovation to make the government work better, to make that something tangible and feelable for everybody. And that's the whole idea behind the management agenda. How can we bring innovation to make the government work better for the American people? So I'll talk a little bit about the management agenda. And for those of you who've heard me speak over the last 6 months or so, you probably know that there are four pillars to the management agenda: effectiveness, efficiency, economic growth, and people and culture. Each one of these comes together in a way, in an integrated way, to try and improve what we do every day. By effectiveness, we're talking about world-class service, 21st century service for citizens and businesses. IT and smarter use of IT is a big backbone of that, but it's also a backbone of other elements of the agenda. Efficiency, increasing the quality and the value in core operations to improve productivity, increase cost savings, deliver more for our dollars. It's a multifaceted effort with many different components. How do you use telework to both improve the way people work and reduce the federal real estate footprint? How do you expand shared services so that the people and the components in the federal agencies who've built real expertise can leverage that and others can use that? I know there were some great conversations about shared services today, and I'm really looking forward, and I know our whole team is, to hearing more about that. Economic growth. How do we use the vast supply of data that the government generates and make it accessible to people? How do we take the innovation that occurs every day in federal laboratories and bring that to create economic opportunity? The Open Data Program is part of this effort and a big element of it. And last but not least is people and culture. I've always wanted to redraw this chart so that people and culture kind of floats along the bottom, because you really need that to make everything else happen. It is a core element of what we need to do. We need a well-trained workforce that is capable of doing what we need to do in the 21st century. That means bringing new talent into government and capitalizing on the talent we already have, giving them the skills and the opportunities to deliver. So we rolled out the management agenda in the spring with the president's budget, and we've been working in each of these areas. I'm going to talk through each of them, but come to effectiveness, which is really the most IT-centric component, last. So I'm going to start with efficiency. Efficiency, Office of Management and Budget, the people from the government side know it's budget season. We care about efficiency at the Office of Management and Budget. And we're trying to work across the government to find new ways to use data to help us be more efficient. A core element of this exercise, this effort, is an exercise we went through this spring around benchmarking administrative support services. We did this for the 24 CFO Act agencies and a number of other large agencies. What we did is said to agencies, we're going to find common data. We're going to find data that in general we're using already, and think about how we can bring that together to bring new insights to management. We worked with the CXO councils, with the Chief Real Property Council, with the Chief Acquisition Officers Council, with the CIO Council, with the CHICO Council, with all of the councils to say, what are metrics that matter? And we did this in conjunction with GSA, and we had two criteria. One, is there data there already? Because we don't have time to wait. And second, can we think of a decision that someone would make if they had more insight, if they had more data? If you can't think of a decision you would make with the data, then we don't want that metric. We're going to find one that might be helpful. And so we set out on the task and said, we're going to get these metrics. We're going to pull them all together, all the agencies, and we'll be done. We're going to start in February. We're going to be done in June, and we're going to start going through this. Several people suggested that maybe that wasn't actually going to work, and we weren't going to be able to get it done, but I knew and we all knew we could. And so we started off with this effort. We had a series of data-driven reviews this summer, agency by agencies, the benchmarking and the portfolio stat process done together. Now, for some of us who are sort of data geeks, it was incredibly exciting to sit in a room with 30 people from an agency, a cross-functional team from OMB, and talk about data. Real data. What did the data say? Why did we like it? What was surprising? Because we knew if we could get that data and we could put it in the hands of agency leadership, they would find ways to use it wisely. So we brought the data together, and I'll give you a couple of examples from what we have here. It was a whole range of things. One of the examples here, we looked at help desk tickets. The range, both across agencies, and we did the data at the bureau level, so within agencies, was quite remarkable. Now, some of that you learn when you're completely off the charts. Maybe that you aren't collecting the data correctly, so that's probably value added right there. The other is an interesting question of, if I'm up at the top end of that spectrum, am I really delivering value? Am I providing more value to my users? Or am I just operating in an environment where it's more costly? People scattered around the globe as opposed to sitting in one office. So we gave agencies the tools to look at that. We created peer groups so you could compare agencies with similar missions, for the idea being that things would be more alike if we had more comparisons. Our goal was not to set a one-size-fits-all. In fact, when we were leading this process at OMB, what we said to the agency is, here's your data. You tell us what it means to you. You tell us what's important. You're the folks working there every day. Together, we're going to think about what this means. And so we've created a set of tools and process to keep this going and to help us all drive efficiency. We're about to start phase two of this effort, which is going to have a couple more components. One is a tool that lets people to create real benchmarks. If I'm a science agency inside of, say, the Department of Commerce, it would be really useful to know how I compare with science bureaus that aren't inside of Commerce. That might be more relevant for me than, say, the Census Bureau. So you now have a tool that we've distributed through GSA to agencies to let them look at this data and say, create your own peer group, find the data, look for those opportunities, and importantly, the next round of this is, how do we find quality? I know customer service was a big theme of the discussions today. This is about more internal customer service, but we've got to look at quality. It's not just about cost. So that's some of the stuff we're doing on efficiency. Another element of the management agenda is economic growth. How can we use government data, for example, as an asset to spur innovation? The administration has had a whole series of data paloozas across all sorts of different spaces. We've done it on education, we've done it on safety, we've done it on climate. The goal on these is to think about how can we create data and make it available in open, machine-readable formats. How can we then let innovation reign and take that data and find new ways to bring it together? That's a core element of what we're doing and working forward. There's lots of estimates, some of which say you can create $1 trillion of value by taking the data that exists and making it more accessible, letting innovation reign inside of government and outside of government. And that's a big piece of what this effort's about. Obviously, getting that data from where it is today to the places where it is in open machine-readable formats takes a lot of work from people in this room. It takes a lot of thoughtfulness about standards. It takes a lot of thoughtfulness about privacy. But we think there will be a big payoff, and the more we put out there, the more we're going to learn about what we can do better. So that's a big piece of the management agenda. The last part of the management agenda is about people and culture, and there's a whole set of different elements under it. In fact, things like the Fellows Program, the folks that graduated here today, all these efforts about bringing talent into government, taking advantage of the talent we have here, is a big component of what we're doing in people and culture. OPM has just released a report on millennials. We know, given the retirement wage that is way that's coming in government, we're going to have to find a way to attract, manage, develop, and retain a whole new set of folks. They're different. I've got kids who technically are millennials, and I know that they think differently than I do. They think that BlackBerry that I still like is like, why am I using that? But I still think it's great. So we're working through a number of programs. We're looking at ways to be more flexible with federal hiring, including encouraging agencies to use the authorities that exist today to enable them to hire more IT professionals more quickly, to think about those critical skills. We're thinking about ways to bring people into government. You heard some of this morning when Mikey talked, and we're working with agencies to create that capability. We're doing some work now with the VA. We're doing work with other agencies with Presidential Innovation Fellows as a way to bring new talent into government. But we also know that bringing people in requires great leadership, and so that's another place we're focusing. Another core pillar of our work in the management agenda is around SES. and really creating programs that enable us to create great senior executives, continue the learning and development of those individuals while they are senior executives. You don't stop needing to learn and develop once you get to a certain level. So how do we do that? And finally, as part of this, we're really focused on employee engagement. The Federal Employee Viewpoint Surveys were just released at the end of last week. If you saw them in McKinsey speak, one would have said, we have some development opportunities. The good news is we actually have data and tools that we all can use, that all of you, particularly those of you inside of government, can use to actually capitalize on those opportunities. Where are the places inside of each of the agencies that people are doing well? What are the dynamics of the places that we're doing? Working with OPM, we've created some new tools called unlocktalent.gov. And if you haven't heard about this at your agency, my other homework assignment to you is to go back and ask people about it, because it should be there for you to access. It takes the data from the OPM Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, it combines it with other HR resources, and it enables agencies to get a more and complete in-depth picture of their workforce. You can also take this data and now get it down to 20,000 different units, 20,000 units across the federal government. So you can look inside an agency and say, I've got two groups of people who are doing basically the same kinds of work. They face the same constraints in terms of challenges in terms of sequester, challenges in terms of budget constraints, challenges in terms of the compensation that's been able to be delivered to them. But somehow one of them, in terms of employee engagement, in terms of how people feel that they're getting learning and development opportunities, is 15 points higher than the other one. Who is that? What are they doing? How can we spread those practices? And so we're working to create tools that really lets agency leadership, you can't quite see this, I don't think all that well here, slice and dice the data to see where are the opportunities in the agencies that need improvement, and where are the people we can pair them up to learn from. We're getting agency engagement on this topic is a big focus of the work that we're doing with the President's Management Council, which consists of all the deputy secretaries. We've actually got an employee engagement workshop that we're organizing across the federal government in a couple of weeks. We think there is enormous opportunities to take this data and use it to make sound, data-driven decisions. That's a core theme across the agenda, whether it applies to people and culture, whether it applies to open data, whether it applies to efficiency. How do you take data to spot where issues are? How do you take data to spot where solutions are? And how do you bring those things together? So I've talked about people and culture. I've talked about economic growth, talked a bit about efficiency. I want to then turn back to the one that starts that list around effectiveness, because that relates quite closely to all the work that you've been doing here today and that you'll be doing here tomorrow. As you know, this theme around smarter IT delivery has been a core element of the management agenda. It is a big piece of what the entire group of us at OMB are working on. Three elements. The best talent working inside of government. The best companies working with government in a way that enables them to do their best work. And finally, the best processes in place so we can be accountable and deliver the level of quality, the level of effectiveness, the level of efficiency that I know every person in this room, government or contractor, wants to deliver when they come to work every day. So let me talk a little bit about what we're doing. We've got a set of things around getting great people into government, building on the people we already have here. One of the lessons we learned, and I'm sure Mikey talked about this morning, I'm betting he did because I've heard him talk before, is that the same team that created healthcare.gov fixed it. There's a bunch of great talent that we have to get just enabled to do their best work. So how can we do that? How can we bring in best the talent from the private sector? How can we bring the two together in a way that enables them to learn from each other? Things like the collaboration embedded in the Fellows Program. And so that's what we're working on. The U.S. Digital Service, which you heard about this morning, is a piece of that. That's a small group inside of OMB working to bring some really top-notch talent into government. But we're also working to think about how do we get more of that talent into agencies? How do we get it there? The goal of the digital service is not just writing code for a specific project. It's actually about taking those opportunities, learning from them, and changing the way we all do our work. We need to change because technology's changed. We need to change because expectations have changed. We need to change because, frankly, we've learned some things in the private sector that we can apply here, and so it's all about bringing that together. We've got a small team now. That team working with our eGov team, hand in hand, is what we have, and we're hoping to grow that team over the course of the next year. The more people we can bring on board, the more we can get them working out there, the more we can deliver. So that's a big piece. There's another piece around process. And so when we started the digital service, one of the things we started with was the digital services playbook, which hopefully many of you have already seen. We've got some excerpts from it here. We rolled this out in August in our, I guess, beta plus one form to try and say, what are the lessons we've learned? When we've looked at projects in the federal government that have gone well, what did they do? What worked on those projects, and how do we make that happen in more places? We also took the same approach and said, how can we do that with acquisitions? When acquisitions go well, when we get contracts that work, we get contracts that enable people to really deliver their best work and deliver great outcomes on time and on budget, what did we do right? And so in both of these, we've focused on pulling those lessons out and thinking about what we've learned. The playbook has 13 plays, which I'm sure no one in the room can read on this chart, but you can go find it and I'll tell you where in a minute, that help agencies deliver work that work for users, that work for customers, and take less time and less money. It's built around the principles of agile development, human-centered design, things I know you spent the day working on here. In parallel, we created something called the Tech FAR, which is intended to take the FAR, you know, the big fat fat one, right, all there, and say, what are the things within it? Because the best acquisition officers inside the federal government understand how to work with that tool and get things done. And so we're focused on what can we do now, and importantly, what are examples, precedents of where people were able to do things so that the rest of us can learn from them. It's all within the frame of existing authorities. We might want to think at points about changing authorities, but we have authorities now that can be made to work. And so we've done this, and we've built these in a way that gets us feedback. So we want to hear from all of you on them. We've already gotten a whole set of comments about these, and we're looking to publish the Playbook 2.0 and the Tech FAR 2.0 over the coming months. But right now, you can find the Tech FAR on GitHub, and you can find the playbook at playbook.cio.gov. There is a place there for you to add comments in the same spirit of my questions today. And as we learn more, we're just going to continue to iterate these. More plays or more examples would be great. The last piece of the program we've talked about, people and process, is about the best companies. And it is really as critical as the other two. All of you who are here today are here because you care about how the federal government delivers IT, and we want to work with you in furthering that relationship. We need to do this together. We need federal employees and contractors to work together to deliver results. We really want to bring those things together in a way where we can learn from each other and find the best ways of working together. So that's what we're trying to do. It's a lot to get done, but I couldn't be more confident of the ability of all of us to accomplish this. I've been here just about a year. It's memorable because I got confirmed the night that shutdown ended. So probably all of you can think of where you were that night in October last year. I got confirmed after you had turned off, after you had watched the vote and turned off the television. That's when they voted on a couple of us. All of you, I'm sure, had the television off by then and were busy scrambling, thinking, okay, how do I get back to work? How do I get my people back to work? How do I get my projects back on track? Like, do I have to go tomorrow? So you all remember where you were. I remember sitting and thinking, it's a time to get started. And it has been a great ride. I have learned an enormous amount, and I've seen a whole lot of terrific things. I've learned a lot from the great people I work with at OMB and the people that I've had the honor of partnering with in the agencies that we work with every day. But if you spend 29 years at McKinsey, there are some habits that are hard to break. And one of them at McKinsey is that everything comes in threes. So I thought I'd share my three key takeaways. Notice I did ask three questions of all of you, not four. It's hard to habit to break. So I thought I'd share my three takeaways and then talk a little bit of what I've learned from your feedback for us. So my first takeaway after the first year. There is enormous progress and impact everywhere. You can see it and feel it every day. My one example from yesterday was my slightly late arrival at the San Francisco airport, where I was happy to look at my boarding pass and say, thank God I'm TSA pre on this flight, because otherwise I'm going to miss my plane. So you can make customer service work. The challenge for all of us is, and by the way, you can have better customer service and better risk management at the same time, and it all costs less. So that's nirvana, right? So the question for all of us is, that's one example. There is the TSA pre-equivalent in agencies everywhere. We have to find them, we have to expand on them, and frankly, we have to talk about them. So that's one lesson. Great stuff happening. The second thing I've learned is that there is an enormous potential in just taking things that people are already doing really well and spreading them around. Much easier to copy a good idea for me than to create one, so I'm big on copying good ideas. You can call that sharing best practices, or you can call it copying good ideas. Sharing best practices sounds a little better, but it's really just copying good ideas. And this is a great way to drive change in the federal government. Again, lots of examples. In the midst of sequester, just to pick one, the folks at EPA looked around and said, gosh, we've got all these people driven by passion about the environment. That's why they come to work at EPA. We have no money to spend on professional development and training, but we've got people who are frustrated. They're not growing. They're not training. So EPA created a tool called a skills marketplace. It enabled the staff in EPA to say, hey, and they set up a small, really simple IT tool to help. What are projects that need people with insight? Who can add value? And people could volunteer to go work on this project for a portion, say 10, 20% of their time. They had to go talk to their supervisor and talk about how it was going to work with them. But they could go spend 20% of their time working on another project, bringing their skills to bear. It was a great way to get in new talent. It was a great experience for the people working on it. We heard about that idea and created a bit of a forum across the PMC to say, who else wants to do that? We've now got five agencies signed up doing the same basic thing. That's just one small example of a practice that worked. It's really relevant. It doesn't cost a lot of money. It was homegrown. How do we create more of those? There's enormous opportunity to do that every day in IT, in HR, in acquisition, in financial management, in every part of the federal government. And I think one of the core things that I'm trying to do and that we're trying to do in OMB is to spread those practices. The councils are a key element of that. There's all sorts of mechanisms, communities of interest. That's one of the things we think is a huge, huge opportunity. And the last piece is we've got to work collaboratively with our stakeholders to do it. Again, lots of examples. One of my favorite examples, beyond this group of working with stakeholders is the work that's been done by the team at the Office of Federal Financial Management, which is part of our shop, that's been working on grants guidance reform. We've taken 8 versions of grants guidance, collapsed it into one. They have done this as a collaborative process with agencies and with external stakeholders. It's amazing to me that you can get 3,000 people to attend a 3-hour webcast on the intricacies of grants guidance, what's auditable, what's not, what does this, what was the nuance about, you know, what qualifies for reimbursement, not 3,000 people on a webcast. They've done this multiple times and they keep getting them. And they've got people from the research community, they've got people from state and local governments working together to both shape the guidance and think about how to implement it. It was a terrific way. If we'd held that meeting in Washington, first of all, you would have only gotten the people in Washington because we know travel money is tight, and you wouldn't have gotten nearly the quality of input, nor would we have educated as many people about the direction we're trying to go. So it's we built the guidance as a two-way street. We've built the rollout as a two-way street. I think we've got great opportunities in forums like this one and the many others to say, how can we do this together? Because we will get more done. And so in that spirit, I had teed up a couple of questions for all of you. That was the homework assignment while I was in here. There were 3 questions, right? How can we spread best practices about federal IT? How can we improve training for the federal workforce in practices like Agile and other new tools? And how can the federal government partner with industry? I did spend some time when I got here today looking at the boards. By the way, there is still room to write on the boards. And I'm guessing that if the boards get filled up, Dan and the rest of the crew will find a way for you to put your comments there or on the app. So a couple thoughts that struck me. Partnering to spread best practices. There were some great ideas about finding ways to enable some folks, particularly federal IT folks in DC, to get out of, as they call it, the quote was, I think, out of the district, to look at what's going on in different places, whether in Silicon Valley or Brooklyn or Austin, about ideas about bringing private sector thought leaders to government. There were some great thoughts about training. One that particularly struck me was, it's good to give people skills, but it's really important that as you do that training, you make sure you spend enough time explaining why. Why is this new skill important? How is it going to enable you to do your job better? And in particular, how will the individual themselves gain from the training? Not just the content, but the rationale and the motivation. I thought that was a great point. Spreading best practices. A set of thoughts from a number of folks about getting the acquisition folks engaged with the emerging customer service practice inside, customer service community of practice inside the federal government, something that I'm really excited about us doing. There were another couple of great comments about making sure that when we're having discussions about using technology, deploying technology to deliver mission, that IT and acquisition and program management have a seat at the table as the decisions are being made, not just after they've been made to implement them. That is a critically important point. And if you haven't heard Megan Smith, who's the new chief technology officer who joined us from Google X, an amazing person, Megan is passionate about this topic. She fundamentally believes, as do I, that if you don't have the people who understand the potential of what technology can do because it's changing so fast, you will miss opportunities to do things smarter. So I think that's a couple just great points, more input coming. So with that, I'd like to close by saying thank you for those ideas. Thank you for the spirit of partnership that I know everyone in this room comes together with. Thank you for having such a great conference. What I love about this conference is you're here connecting and making connections, but also doing real work. I've heard about the work on shared services. I've heard about the work on customer service. I've heard about the different dimensions, and I'm looking forward to hearing more. As I said at the beginning, I couldn't be more excited to be here today with the potential we have ahead of us. We've got the technology tools. we have the technology know-how. I think we actually have a set of non-technology leaders inside of government who are realizing that they need to be paying attention. They've seen some of the downside when it doesn't work so well, and they know, and they don't want to be there, and they know what the upside looks like. They see it in the rest of their lives, and so I think it's for all of us to bring that together and help make things happen. So thank you again. I look forward to a great day for everybody tomorrow, and I look forward to working with all of you for all of us to deliver against the potential that this room represents. Thanks very much.